What's Next from American Security Project. I'm Maggie Feldman-Pilch. Today's episode of What's Next is a special edition focusing on private sector partners and spotlighting interesting work happening in the private sector that leads to greater U.S. security and general world stability. Today I'm joined by Bella Ling, Head of Communications for Airbnb Greater China. Bella, thanks for joining.
Thank you, Maggie.
So Airbnb, maybe not what people think of first when they think of American Security Project or security in general, but if you take a step back and think about public diplomacy, I think it's pretty clear how Airbnb fits into that. But rather than having me explain it, I'd love to hear how Airbnb kind of seeds itself in what public diplomacy means for the 21st century.
So I think we have to go back what's really the founding element. I think what's the core of our company value is based on trust. I think that echo what the public diplomacy is all about, whether it's between, you know, countries, between people. It's really about how people can trust each other so that they can build a good relationship. So Airbnb is really an enabler of that, to really give travelers the chance to live like a local. They're really, instead of staying at hotels, traveling like a standard tourist, they really have the chance to live with local people, to experience local life. They actually have to, for the guests to stay at the Airbnb listing, they really have to be really open-minded. They have to open up themselves to local cultures. And also for the host, or for Airbnb hosts, they have to open up their home for strangers, for foreigners, people from all around the world to stay at their houses. So that can only be built upon trust. So that's something we really want to build for this world, for this society, is, you know, people can actually trust each other, and they can actually just walk into someone's house and ready to embrace a different type of culture, and they can actually take in the advice or suggestions from their local host to maybe experience different restaurants, to experience different type of lives. So I think in a way, Airbnb provides that kind of opportunities for people.
Absolutely. And Airbnb is doing a lot of really interesting stuff, and kind of different from even similar organizations that do home shares or home swaps. In addition to being an enabler for travel, you're also taking a step to be an enabler for student exchange, educational exchange. Recently, you know, it was announced that Airbnb is partnering with the State Department to help support an additional 10 Gilman scholars a year. And I mean, so Gilman Scholars, for those of our listeners that don't know, similar to maybe the Rangel Fellows or Pickering Fellows, run by the State Department, and allows students from the United States to travel abroad and funds that experience for them. Why is that something that Airbnb is interested in?
So we believe that, you know, for students to study in their own country, of course, academically, that's some certain achievement for them. But if they have the chance to actually study abroad, that actually broaden their vision, and they also get to experience different types of they get to live with other people, to study with other people, and from students or teachers in other countries, they can also learn about different cultures and how people in different cultures think. So in a way, it helps them to think more. They have a broader global view after they get out of school, and they can actually bring that experience back to their country after they finish school in where the country they study abroad, and help enhance their future, maybe career development or in their lives.
Sure. And, you know, you think about kind of the traditional model that young people take when they travel, right? You stay at a hostel, you stay at a hotel, and you're insulated in that way, right? If you're at a hostel, most of the time you're surrounded by other people who are not from that place. They're also traveling. If you're in a hotel, you're surrounded by staff, people who work at the hotel, and maybe it doesn't make sense. You don't have the opportunity to sit down and have a conversation with them over dinner. So Airbnb is really different in that way, right? You're in someone's home, you're having breakfast together, you're doing your laundry together, you're watching TV together, and the conversations are bigger than, oh, where can I get a cup of coffee? You know, where can I find the train station? It's, what is your life like? And we were talking a little bit before we started recording about the public reviews that are available on Airbnb. When you look at those public reviews, what do you see? And do you see kind of evidence of these conversations happening?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, reading reviews is actually a very interesting experience, not only for the guests and hosts to understand each other better before mm-hmm. they agree or to accept the booking request. Actually, as a company, when we look at those reviews, we also find cultural differences among different countries. For example, we never knew that Chinese guests always mostly have the habit of bringing their host a small gift when they stay at their place.
Of course.
Or sometimes they would just buy a bottle of wine at the supermarket and leave it with the host when they leave the house. So usually we wouldn't even realize that, because sometimes when people think about Chinese tourists, they probably think about they shop a lot, they spend lots of money, but they actually are very nice guests.
Right.
And lots of our international hosts actually appreciate that a lot. They actually write in their reviews about their guests. They're like, oh, you know, we had the best experience hosting our Chinese guests. They were so nice. They taught us how to speak Chinese. They taught us cooking Chinese food. And best of all, they even left us with small gifts on the bed before they left. So that's the kind of people-to-people exchange that we're really looking for. It's so genuine.
Right.
It's different from leaving a tip under the pillow when you leave the hotel because there's no people-to-people connection.
Right.
But you're actually talking to or making friends with your local host, and lots of them actually stay in touch after the trip was completed. So that's many good stories around those.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a really important point that, you know, particularly in the United States, you know, our idea of Chinese tourists, you know, many people think of Disney World, New York City, Times Square, that kind of thing. Which is, you know, a very small piece of the picture. So when you have someone staying in your home and you learn about gift exchange as an important part of Chinese culture and hosting, it goes on the website, right, the public review, so other people can read it, but you've built a relationship between the guest and the host, and as you've mentioned, you know, it ripples out, right? The host is having a conversation later with a group of friends about something, and they can bring up a conversation they've had with their guest from China. And it can help kind of better illuminate what it really means to build a relationship with someone from another country, specifically in this case from China, which I think in the United States there's not great understanding of the average Chinese person, right? There's caricatures always in every country, but the average American and the average Chinese person may never meet, and that may still be the case, but Airbnb helps to bridge that gap, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely. So it's not only the Chinese guests that are bringing the experience, getting the experience of local
right.
lives and stuff, and making the connection with local hosts. I think lots of the local hosts are actually getting to learn about Chinese culture. And so in a way, we really give them, we built this platform really mainly to give them this opportunity to understand each other better. I think lots of lots of time we stereotype and we misunderstand each other's culture. That's very frustrating sometimes. But when you actually have people from all around the world living together in one space under one roof, you can actually really sit down over a glass of wine, talk about your lives, your experiences. And you probably know that lots of our hosts, especially in the US and in Europe, are elderlies.
Right.
Actually, these elderlies, they actually have a big house, but the kids are not with them anymore.
Right.
And they are probably not healthy enough to travel to other countries anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But by being Airbnb hosts, they can actually still be connected to the world, to the society.
Right.
They might be hosting people from Japan, from China, and they don't have to actually travel to these countries, and they can learn about the cultures, and they feel like, you know, they're young again.
Right.
So it's not really about connecting young people. It's really connecting like a different generation.
Right.
We also have actually guests staying with elderly people and learn about their life experiences.
Sure.
They feel like they're staying with a teacher, a lifelong teacher, or they feel so enriched, and they feel that, you know, it's a very precious lesson for them. It's a lot more than just
right.
a trip to them. You
right.
know, it's a lot more than just shopping, having good food. They're actually talking to someone with 50, 60 years of life experiences.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, for a lot of our listeners, this all sounds well and good, but what does this have to do with security? And in my mind, you know, there are a lot of answers to that question. But starting at kind of the hardest security, we talk a lot about security cooperation, so military to military engagement, making sure that our military officers and enlisted service people have ways to communicate and relationships with leaders in foreign militaries and our allies, and we do joint exercises and all of these things so we understand each other's perspectives, how systems work, what our goals are, how we define success, how we define failure, all of those things, which is really important in the face of threats, whether that be climate change, natural disaster, et cetera. It sounds very much like Airbnb is doing, you know, these people-to-people engagements that are like security cooperation, but much softer, right? You know, I heard Secretary Kerry mention that his daughter is an Airbnb host in Boston, which just blew my mind. And I can't imagine what it would be like to be someone from another country, maybe from China, and you find yourself staying in the daughter of the Secretary of State of the United States' house in Boston. I mean, what a crazy situation to be a fly on the wall for like that dinner, and just to hear what they're talking about. But then it totally changes your perspective, both kind of on the individual basis, but then you zoom out on the aggregate. And, you know, you talk about how Facebook, for example, people see what they want to see on Facebook. It becomes an echo chamber. But if you're building relationships with people that are different from you, your echo chamber changes. It's less of an echo chamber, and it's more of a real representation of what's out there in the world. And I think these public reviews you're talking about are a really good way to see that. And I wonder, you know, both maybe as someone who uses Airbnb and someone who works at Airbnb, some of the anecdotes that you've come across that you're like, you can tell that experience has impacted whether it's the guest or the host's kind of worldview going forward.
So yeah, we can actually see lots of those examples in our reviews. Lots of the hosts, actually, when they first became a host, they were afraid. They were scared
yeah.
of letting strangers staying at their houses.
Sure.
But after the first time, they actually enjoy the experience, because it really goes back to what I say in the beginning, trust between
mm-hmm.
people. I think in the current world, it's really, this is something that we're about to miss.
Sure.
People don't really, they can't really open up to strangers. Not even, you know, sometimes we even lose trust between friends, between colleagues, and between even family members, let alone strangers, like someone maybe from like 10,000 miles away that you've never met before, from a country that you've never heard before. How can you actually just hand these people your house key and let them just stay with you or stay at your places? I think it really goes back to trust. So that's, I think that's how, if I think security is probably a very serious word to use, but everything I think goes back to trust between people. And if we can build a world that people can actually trust each other, that's
I mean, if we could build a world where nations trust each other, right? And nations are many things, but at a very basic level, simply aggregates of people. So part of me really wants to know if Airbnb can like become the UN or if there's some way to make that happen. I don't know. You guys should figure that out. But I think it might be surprising to many people, you know, maybe less so our listeners in Washington, D.C., but to think, why is Airbnb sitting down with American Security Project? Like, what is it that we have in common? I mean, this is public diplomacy. This is cultural diplomacy. This is exchange. And this is how change happens. We build trust. And this is an interesting and exciting way to build trust that plays to the strengths and desires of, you know, a new generation, a new population that's kind of coming of age, you know, that want to travel, that are money conscious, that want more authentic experiences. And there's our own public diplomacy fellow, Matthew Wallen, has traveled Europe on Airbnb. And I know that you could talk to him indefinitely about his experience. And I've heard from other people, you know, some very similar kind of anecdotes. And, you know, I'm excited for you guys to get to the point where they're no longer anecdotes and there's like a real aggregate to be like, see, look, this works. You know, there's a way to measure this impact because there is impact there. So I wonder what either you personally from where you are at Airbnb or kind of as an individual, what excites you the most about this?
I think from my personal experience, there was one time I traveled to Florence, staying at Airbnb. That was probably my best travel experience ever. So I stay at this really beautiful small apartment just right next to the bridge in Florence. And so the guest, the host was actually waiting for me and my husband downstairs, waiting because I pinned him when we arrived the airport, telling him that, oh, we're getting on a cab, we're on our way to your place now. So he was waiting for us downstairs. And when we got off the car, he actually spoke to the cab driver in Italian, asking how much he was charging us. So it turned out that the cab driver was trying to charge us by meter.
This is like New York City,
But actually, from anywhere from the airport to anywhere in downtown Florence is a fixed price.
Oh,
he was not supposed to charge us by meter. So our host, believe it or not, being an Italian, he actually got into a fight with the cab driver for us. And they were like yelling and screaming in Italian. Of course, I couldn't understand.
Yeah.
But I could see that cab driver was really mad because he couldn't believe that an Italian was actually trying to help Chinese tourists to bargain with him or
to get the right, you know, what, the correct fare.
And so that was an eye-opening experience for me because I know if that day I stayed at a hotel, there was no way the hotel people would have argued with the taxi driver
Yeah.
For me.
Right.
And when we got into the apartment, he already booked us a restaurant that night.
Oh, that's
a
so
very
nice.
Local, authentic Italian restaurant.
Yeah.
And he left a bottle of Italian wine on the table.
Oh my gosh.
And some cheeses in the fridge.
No one can see my face right now, but I'm incredibly jealous. That's awesome.
So that's what I'm talking about. Of course, you can stay at a five-star hotel. They will also leave you a bottle of wine.
Right.
They will also leave you cheese in the fridge. But that just feels different because...
Yeah, they didn't pick it for you.
Exactly. It's not personal.
Right.
You actually didn't. Of course, let alone the fact that our host was a very handsome Italian boy. But, you know, that kind of exchange, we talked about his family, his mom being Italian, but his father was from Paris. And just
cool.
That type of... And he told us, you know, where to get cheap tickets for the Uffizi Museum and all that kind of suggestion. You just felt like, oh my God, I just made a friend in Italy.
Yeah.
So that's the most amazing thing I personally have felt or experienced about Airbnb. And that's why I think everyone loves this, our platform so much.
Yeah. And I'm sure now everyone's going to look and try and find who this host was so they too can have wine and cheese. So Bella, we always ask the same last question to all our guests on what's next. And that is obviously what's next. And I think, you know, given our conversation, I'd like to frame it in, you know, if Airbnb and the Gilman Scholars and all of those kind of programming that you guys are involved in is successful and continues to expand and is used by as many people as it has been, what do you think the world will look like in 20 years? And conversely, if we all just keep to staying in hotels and have, you know, no real authentic experiences, given the climate of the world now, 20 years from now, what does it look like?
I hope it's not going to take 20 years. I really think that's a long time. But we hope very soon we're going to help build a world where everyone can just trust each other. Nations can trust each other. I think it's going to be very beautiful. And there will be no misunderstanding, no stereotyping. And when we have the trust, I think it's going to bring peace and all the beautiful things to the world.
Yeah, a lot more stability and a lot less conflict.
Definitely.
Well, Bella from Airbnb, thank you so much for joining us for our first private sector spotlight. It's been a pleasure to have you. This has been What's Next from American Security Project. I'm Maggie Feldman-Pilch.